Toshiba people, I thought the privatization is the only way.
Akio, thank you for coming here again. This is your
pleasure.
Second time on the podcast.
Right.
You were my 20th.
No.
Now you're my 316th episode in the podcast. Oh. And the other day we were walking, I was down in B1, and you came by and you said, Lance,
right.
I just had the biggest deal of my life.
Right.
Now, as the head of Lehman before, now that was
right.
the biggest shock of your
right.
life.
Yeah. Yeah.
When Lehman went under and you were the president of that, tell us, what was this deal?
Well, it's all in the newspapers, you know. I started about 2 years ago, exactly 2 years ago, winter of 2021, got an idea to privatize Toshiba. And if you know the read the newspaper, there are a lot of articles about history of Toshiba in the mid 2015, 2016. They were caught by the window dressing of the financials, and they got in trouble with the authorities and regulators. And then their investment in a nuclear company, Westinghouse, in the US, was very bad. They lost, I forgot the exact amount, but $5 billion or so. And then they were at the brink of short of money. Their net asset was negative.
Right.
So before the financial year closes, they have to raise money. Otherwise, they're going to be delisted from Tokyo Exchange. So somehow Goldman Sachs got into it, and they proposed that we could raise $5-6 billion for you to cover the net assets loss.
It was only $5 or $6 billion.
Yeah, it's $1 billion.
I understand that, but I mean, but I thought Toshiba was much bigger than that.
Oh yeah, when we bought it, but the to cover the loss, the net assets becoming negative,
right.
What you needed was $5-6 billion.
Okay,
right.
Was that mostly because of Westinghouse?
Mostly Westinghouse. Right.
Okay, it wasn't
right.
their fault.
So, the CEO of Toshiba then, I don't know, he went to talk to Goldman, or Goldman went to talk to him and propose, we could raise you money. And then they got these five hedge funds, what you call now activists, to give money to Toshiba, and they survived. But now once the activists, I think there is a merit and demerit. You know, it's been said in the newspaper or magazines. Merit is they tell CEOs who is just sitting on his position, and then relax, and you got to do something to improve your corporate return and businesses. And there are a number of those CEOs in Japan, in my view. So they invest, but the demerit is they want to get the money back very quickly, right?
That's true.
And they're going to, couple of things they always ask is to raise the dividend, right? If they have a cash, they're going to target mostly the company who has a lot of cash. So they say, you're not using cash very effectively. So you should return to the investors. So, but on the CEO part, they must be thinking, you know, some are very seriously, the others are not very seriously, but thinking about using some this money in the future to improve the operation. But once the activist is in, if they don't move quickly, they will ask the dividend payment, increase the dividend, or they get rid of some of the assets or subsidiaries which is not doing well, or non-core subsidiaries, what they say. So that's what happened in Toshiba after the five activists invested in them. And then the first day, about 2-3 years ago, they proposed that Toshiba will be broken down into three pieces. And some of the subsidiaries should be sold. And then they changed to break it down two pieces. But that idea didn't fly because the increased cost by doing it, and a lot of people have to be fired. So one of the private equity firms, CVC, one of the largest in Europe, they proposed, we're going to buy all Toshiba. That was, when was that? About 2.5 years ago? And then, but that didn't make activists and other shareholders happy. So the idea was rejected. And then the activists, as I said before, they proposed a breakdown of Toshiba operation and tried to sell some of the businesses and get the money back. But that didn't go well because, as I said, it's a lot of operational problem and a lot of people have to be fired and that will cost the money. Right. So I was thinking with some of my colleagues, maybe privatization, again, is the only solution.
But wait, how did you get it? Why were you involved with this in the first place?
Well, I worked for first job as IBJ.
Right.
Now it's called Mizuho.
Right.
And then I went to New York and started working for Goldman Sachs.
Right.
At Goldman, I worked for 7 years.
Then I came
back in Tokyo and became the head of investment banking at Morgan Stanley.
Okay.
And I was the head of Lehman Brothers Japan. I've been working in this investment banking business so many years. I got a lot of people I know.
So the people were contacting you during this time, during all this turmoil.
Right.
Were you sitting in any of the meetings?
No, I always speak to my you know, clients.
So it's on the outside. So you're on the periphery of it.
Yeah, right. Okay. I know. I like to talk to people.
All right.
That's a part of that.
That's right.
A very important part of the investment banking business. You have to connect with the people and talk to people and get the idea,
right.
Listen to what they say and what they need. So
right.
That's what I've been doing for the past 40 years or so. So I thought, talking to some Toshiba people, I thought the privatization is the only way to pay back the activists so that they can go home with some profit. And they did. That's what happened with the price of $4,610, the offer price for TOB.
Okay.
And all the activists made profit. So I hope they are happy.
Wait, break it down for layman. Okay, now when you when you go private, what happens when you take a company and it goes private? Because that's not the same as going public, is it?
The opposite, right?
It's just the opposite, right?
Yeah, the opposite, right.
Because Toshiba was already public.
It was public.
Okay.
It is public, but now on December 22nd, 20th, they're going to be delisted.
And become
now the on TOB, which finished in September, my client, Japan Industrial Partners, one of the largest Japanese PE funds, they did TOB, and then they got about 78% of all the shares. More than
TOB? TOB is?
Takeover bid.
Okay.
Right. Well, it's called tender offer.
Right.
So that means try to buy all the stock of Toshiba from the market or from the investors and then delist it from the exchange and make it private company.
Private. So in doing that, they have to pay
activists. Yeah.
So now they're activists.
Yeah, so you have to negotiate with the activists and make them happy with this price.
Right, this price.
Can you sell the stock to us?
Right.
Right. And then there was a lot of negotiation with
that. So you did all of that?
The company, mainly Japan Industrial Partners did. We were advisors.
Okay, how to go about doing
it.
Yeah,
that. Right, yeah,
okay.
Right.
And that was 2 years in the making? You did?
2 years in the making, exactly. Yeah, the 2 years, winter time, November or December, I forgot exactly. 2 years time. Every week I had a meeting with the people at Japan Industrial Partners, every weekend. Yeah, as a member of the Tokyo American Club, there was a basketball on Sunday evening.
Right.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends. I would come to 2 years, before 2 years ago, I would come to every Sunday evening and play with the guys.
Right.
But since this project started, I couldn't do it because every Sunday I had a meeting. Every Sunday evening, 400 weeks.
How many weeks?
100 weeks.
100 weeks.
Yeah, 2 years. Yeah. So we were in a very confidential place that nobody would come or no media would come. We had very secretive meetings.
Right.
Yeah. And to talk about strategy, what we're going to do. You know, first we talked about how we can raise money from the investor because we needed money. This was $1.6 billion deal.
$16 billion. $16 billion deal. Okay, right.
So we talked to several investors, corporations, and some financial institutions asking them to invest in this. And some are foreign investors from the United States, and mostly. And then we're going to add bank financing. So we went to Mizuho, Sumitomo, Mitsui Sumitomo, and Mitsubishi, and we tried to raise money.
Okay.
We did. So we collected $16 billion, and then we launched TOB, and I think it was in August. And then we told publicly that we're going to buy your all shares at the price of 4,610 yen, which was a little premium, over the then price of Toshiba.
Right.
So, and then on September 22, we found out 78%, more than two-thirds of the investors offered their shares to us. So that went well. And there are still about 20% remaining stockholders that they didn't offer at the tender offer. So we're going to, we had this, last week we had the extraordinary shareholder meeting, and we decided we can buy. By law, for the remaining small shares, we can buy.
By law?
We can force them to sell.
You can force them to sell.
So, and that's going to end, this process will end December 20th, and then Toshiba will be privatized.
Now, when you say that you can force them to buy at the price that you offered.
Yes.
Okay, right. So they can't exceed right. that. They're holding on for one reason. To make more money, of course.
Well, some of the individual investors don't bother, because to tender offers, you have to go to the securities companies and open an account. And
okay, so they didn't want to bother
with
that.
They don't want to bother, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So.
So it's just easier for them if you just go ahead
right.
and go through
right.
it.
Right.
Do that.
So but after December 20, around that time, the Toshiba will be 100% owned by the investors led by Japan Industrial Partners.
Right.
And then now new phase will start. New phase is how to make revive the Toshiba.
And you're going to stay involved. You plan on staying involved
to some extent, but mainly the Japan Industrial Partners will be the guy who is going to create the new management and do everything.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
And this is the biggest deal in your whole life.
Oh, biggest deal. Yeah.
It has to be at $16 billion.
Right. Yeah, it was.
At 71 years old, you're killing it. So now, what do you plan
on
doing? What do you plan on doing with your life now?
Well, I like music, so I'd like to. If I could, I want to go back to music school.
You can buy a couple. What do you mean? You can, start your own.
I've been playing flute for 50 years.
That's right.
And then, I do some other instrument, but what I don't know is about music theory.
Oh, okay, you never studied music theory.
Yeah, I never did
so
the
you
piano.
Don't can you read music?
I can read music.
Okay, but you don't know the theory.
The theory, I don't know that. And the flute is just one line, right?
That's right.
But music is a lot of codes, and there are some theory about movement of the
yes,
music
right,
and all
right,
those things.
Yeah.
If you learn the piano, I think you probably could learn a lot of them.
That's the bass.
I never played piano.
Right.
Yeah. That's one thing.
We're on similar journeys because I play the sax.
Well, yeah, right.
And I started just 6 years ago now. It's 6 years ago that I started sax, and I did study music theory, but online.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh.
So I took the course and went through there, and I taught myself how to read as well.
Oh, that's great.
Online.
Well, I don't have that discipline.
But it's better. Well, I do. I have to at this time because I never did before.
Right.
So now I'm doing the things I really
right.
want to do.
Uh-huh.
And it makes life a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
Now my biggest passion is doing these podcasts and talking
mm-hmm.
with people.
Mm-hmm.
I've been enjoying that.
Right.
Yes. So what are your plans? You're going to do the music?
And also I think it's a global world, as you know, compared to 30, 40 years ago. There are a lot of deals happening globally. There are a lot of investors on the buyers or sellers interacting worldwide. I think this trend is, of course, it's going to be there in the future, and it's going to more increase. So looking at my background, I think what I could be a little bit of some supportive to somebody to get involved some international. So I may be doing somewhat similar to what I'm doing, but I need to think.
But didn't you have a company where you actually have older people
right.
come in that were in executive positions
right.
and you basically hire them out.
Yeah.
It's like a temporary mm-hmm. situation. You still do that as well?
Yeah, we do. I do a lot of that.
You
yeah.
still do a lot yeah, of that. Yeah. So you plan on continuing that until?
I don't know.
Until.
What.
Until the end.
Right.
Do you see any time in the near future where you're going to slow down, or do you see yourself having another good 20 or 30 years left?
Oh well, it depends on my health. But
how is your health?
There are a lot of things I need to learn. The music is another one. So also, I'm not very good at the ITs. Right, and my generation people, right?
Don't say that because I'm your generation and I'm doing IT, I love
bank, it. Be it the banking or the some banking, industry right. corporations, the CEO of big companies, they don't know. I don't know about ITs. But if you know the IT, there may be something that I may see that I haven't seen before.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
a new thing, so I think. Trying new things is really a key, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, IT is the key to the future anyway.
Right.
Because everyone's going that way.
Right.
And I think that's been the downfall of most of the westernized countries.
Right. Yeah.
Because IT is taking so many people out of their jobs and they stop producing things and they're getting into this virtual world.
Yeah.
But letting the real world go to the side. But Japan isn't.
All right.
For whatever reason, Japan tends to be developing and keeping everything their maintenance here. I'd like to find out more about why the maintenance is so advanced here.
Mm-hmm.
They maintain their roads, they maintain their buildings. They're constantly keeping everything maintained.
Yeah.
Other countries don't.
Right. Well, that's what the Japanese do well, right? What if they know what they need to do, they do a superb job in art or the many other things, in helping tourists, other things. What Japan needs is really to invest and start new things. Well, it's been said so many years. I think a lot of people, employees of Japanese corporations and all CEOs as well, they're good at maintaining what they have and improve a little bit based on what they have. But what Japan needs is really to invest in something new and not afraid of making mistakes.
Right.
Yeah, that's a culture. Japanese don't want to make mistakes, you know, compared to the United States people.
Or other countries. They're risk adverse.
Right.
They will not take the risk.
Yeah.
That's why they don't actually, when you start a company here, first of all, companies will start, let's say they're in manufacturing.
Right.
And in other countries, they'll have a certain amount of money put aside for risk. If something unexpected.
Right.
Japan does.
Yeah, I think the.
They say, no, we won't even go. If you tell us there's risk, they don't want to touch it.
Right. I think it's still a part of culture.
Right.
Maybe getting better compared to the old days, but still that culture exists. If you start new things, if you're a CEO and start new things, and if it fails, and a lot of people say, I told you.
That's right. And well, some people had to actually, it was even detrimental to them.
Right.
They
take
themselves out and their whole family because you can't fail but once.
Right. So that's why they don't want to take a risk. They were afraid of taking risk and make mistake. On the other hand, in the U.S., you know, I spent 15, 16 years in the United States and worked in also Wall Street. But they said, well, good try, right? You did a good try, you failed, but that's totally different. So Japanese are very comfortable keeping status quo and improve a little bit, but investing in new or using new cash, that's what Japanese corporation right now, even though they are making a lot of money, you know, according to newspaper media, but they are not investing in a way that U.S. counterparts or the other parts of the world do. And that's one of the reasons that Japan was now very behind in IT and new technology, right?
Yeah. But Japan is also, once they do focus on something,
right,
they go wholeheartedly.
That's right, yeah.
They go wholeheartedly into it.
Right.
They have a saying in the U.S., with getting back to the risk part, they used to say that most millionaires go bankrupt 3 times before they hit the mother lode.
Oh, really? Oh.
You've never heard that before?
No, I've never heard
that. They go bankrupt 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
Bankruptcy? That's how Americans, a lot of them are taught.
I see.
You can go bankrupt, so what? You just get up and do it over again.
I see. That's
but it's really not that easy, of course, because there's a lot of emotion involved in starting a company and dealing with other people and them losing their jobs.
Right.
If you can live through three bankruptcies, you might become wealthy, but that's the biggest thing.
Right.
So it's interesting. So you're going to go on and continue to advise and look for the next big deal.
Well, I don't know if there are people who wants to receive my advice.
A deal like that, I think everyone's going to come knocking on your door continually. How would they contact you if they wanted to get advice from you?
They know if you.
Just go
type my name in the internet. Right. They can they know.
Right. Well, they can find it from this podcast because, of course, your full name will be on there, and they can find out what you've done.
Yeah,
that's good. And your family's doing well. Your daughters are doing well.
Right. I have two daughters, but they're not interested in financials. Maybe because of me.
They don't have to be because dad's taking care of all that.
They're interested in the more spiritual things. Two of my daughters got a license in yoga. Mm-hmm. One went to Nepal years ago to get a license. Stayed there for a couple of months, and then the other one is going to India. So she got a license in India, but she's going to, actually next week she's going to India, Mumbai, and some suburban area in Mumbai to get the highest degree in yoga.
Does she plan on never teaching, or is it just for personal?
She doesn't want to teach, she's
just personal.
Her job is this kind of freelance in IT. Creating home.
Well, she knows IT, so she can help you out a little bit. Let me ask you, there's something I didn't do and didn't start till recently in my podcast.
Yeah.
I'm just curious what you would say. I ask people on my podcast, before I end it, one question. Mm. With all the knowledge you have now, Akio, if you could go back in time and give advice to the younger Akio, how old would that Akio be, and what advice would you give him?
I don't know. I divorced twice in my life, so I would say to him, be nice to young girls.
I can't think of any better advice. Thank you so much. I want to thank all of you for watching or listening to this podcast. Never forget, it's all on loan, so continue to reach for the stars.
Because you are too blessed to be stressed.